The Lord be with you. Good morning and welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Today we celebrate All Saints Sunday. All Saints Day was this past Wednesday, November 1st. We have transferred it to this Sunday, and we are happy that you are here with us in the house of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. The order of service today is printed in your bulletin. The hymns are found in your hymnal. We are using Divine Service setting number 3 this morning. We are happy to welcome this morning our last Reformation series preacher, Pastor Bob Fekenscher, who served at St. Andrew's in Stockton, California for over 30 years and is now retired in the Sacramento area and part of our bi-circuit. We are happy to have him up here with us this morning. And it's probably a providential blessing in a lot of ways because I really don't have much of a voice this morning. I'm recuperating from a cold, so we're happy to have him here with us this morning. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You see, those words are powerful. And yet, like with many things in our world, we sometimes get so accustomed to them, we miss the power. We miss those simple words that were given to us by our Lord. Simple words that take you and me as we are, in whatever condition we are, and make us saints. You see, today we do remember those saints who have gone before us, who have been witnesses for us. But as we look at baptism, we remember that's where it all begins. That's where we too became saints of God, where God made us his saints. You see, because baptism is about not us, not that little child or that adult who finally comes to the baptismal font, but it's about God. A God who is gracious and merciful, a God who takes us just as we are and makes us his. You ever gotten up in the morning, turned on the faucet, and out comes a brownish or reddish colored kind of water, and you go, yuck, what is that? It's probably the water company draining the pipes or something like that. That's kind of, in a way, how we enter the baptismal font. But eventually and immediately we come out clean as his child. And so this morning I would like to have you remember baptism about in two ways. The first is that baptism is about grace. And the second is that baptism gives us our identity. Baptism is about grace. The grace of God in Jesus Christ. One pastor said that when parents bring an infant for baptism, he meets with them ahead of time. And he asks them frequently whether their child has discovered the cure for cancer or whether they have solved the problem of world hunger or whether that child has brought peace and disarmament to our world or taken care of all of the homeless that surround us. He said, they look at me like I'm a little bit crazy. And he said, I probably am. But they said, all that child does is eat and sleep and fill diapers. And sometimes coos and smiles. And also really cries. He says, yes. And that tells us something about baptism. Baptism is God's merciful grace to us who haven't earned it. That infant has not earned anything or solved anything. Somehow or other, we get that notion that newborns are somehow innocent and sinless. But we've forgotten what happens at 2 a.m. when that infant cries and maybe is not picked up right away. You ever notice that? There's a difference that comes in the cry. Not just a pleading, but pretty soon it gets a little bit angry. I always tell parents and say that if you think your child is sinless, that 2 a.m. says something. And then when they perhaps grow a little bit and are 2 or 3 or 4, you put one toy in a corner and 2 children with it, what do you have to tell them to do? Share. It doesn't come naturally. And so it is that we find ourselves as really the most selfish creatures on the earth, given that gift of baptism, that gift of grace. It's about what God is like as we know him in Jesus Christ, the way God reaches out to humanity when we do not deserve it, the way God loves us when we're unlovable. It's about the way in which God's mercy touches us when we are self-serving and don't pick up after ourselves. It's about grace and grace alone. And so God is saying to us, welcome humanity, welcome people, welcome sinners, welcome to those of you who are stumbling and falling, welcome to those who don't feel you're good enough. Come to me and be cleansed, be bathed. Be baptized in grace and mercy. There was a man named Ralph Wood who wrote an article called Baptism in a Coffin. It seems that he was invited by one of his former students who had become a prison chaplain to come to the prison and to witness a baptism of a prisoner who had turned his life around and asked for baptism. And so he accompanied him to the prison, and they were escorted out into the courtyard of the prison with high fences, of course, razor-sharp barbed wire all around. And in that courtyard was a very crude pine box that had plastic lining so that it would hold water, and it was full of water. And as he looked at that wooden box, he realized it wasn't just a box. It was a coffin. It was the coffin which prisoners who died in prison were put in and taken out and buried. That standard order of a coffin. And so it wasn't any oversized warm bathtub. It was filled with cold water. And so the prisoner was placed in that coffin, or placed himself in that coffin. And those words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And then he came out of that watery grave in a sense. And he didn't want to get out. He just kneeled there in that cold water, refusing to go get dry clothes right away. Because he said, "God has made me new. No matter what I have done before. And even though I am paying for what I have done with my prison, in my prison sentence, I am different. I am new. I want to wear these clothes as long as I can." And so they sat down by a table nearby in the warm Carolina sun. And he said, "You know, even though I'm incarcerated, I am now a free man." And so it is. We who are incarcerated by sin by nature are set free in our baptisms. As we said before, we're given the name saint, the saints of God. On my desk, I have a picture of my baptismal day, in my mother's arms in that white dress. And I look at it because it continually reminds me, even on the bad days, of whose I am. And I had the privilege of having a godparent, one of my godparents, Mrs. Miller, who was in Sacramento, was a member of Trinity Lutheran, where my dad was the pastor. And you know, every time she saw me, she would remind me of my baptism. Even later, when she moved away to Washington, and I can still recall when we were in Stockton one day, and I was in my 30s or maybe 40s by then, they stopped by the house. And almost one of the first things she said to me was, "Bobby, I remember the day of your baptism." Those of you who have the privilege of being godparents, use that privilege. No matter how old that godchild is, remind them of whose they are because of their baptisms. What a gift that was. And is still for me, because she is now sainted. But I have never, ever forgotten her or forgotten what she did. The second thing I'd have you remember about baptism is that baptism is about our identity. It marks us, it identifies us, it helps us know who we are and whose we are. Our names are there. A child of God should always be added to that name. One woman said, "You know, when we baptize and we take the water and place the sign of the cross on the forehead and upon the heart, maybe that sign of the cross should be done with a magic, not a magic marker, but a marker that's permanent. We might have a lot fewer people baptized." You know, on Ash Wednesday, sometimes you get the ashes marked on your forehead. I don't know how long you keep them there, but they don't last that long, do they? Or we wipe them off pretty fast. What if that sign of the cross were, in a sense, permanently on our forehead? What would one want to do? But what a reminder that would be for us as baptized children of God with our identities. Martin Luther said that when he faced great temptation or a terrible challenge, he would be often be heard mumbling to himself over and over as a mantra, "But I am baptized, I am baptized, I am baptized." Because in remembering the identity of his baptism in Jesus, he was different when he faced challenge or temptation. He reminded of who stood with him in that temptation. Martin Marty, a number of years ago, wrote a little tome on the six chief parts. And he wrote this under the title of baptism. "Today we are surrounded by all kinds of religious hucksters, would-be world changers going about their self-appointed duties. We trouble ourselves in the endless search for valid religious experiences. Self-proclaimed miracle workers and faith healers come to tickle us with the exotic. But all too often, we fail at a crucial point. We have been baptized. We have received the Spirit and power of God through the water and the word of promise, the word of power. And so we can be done with the new and the novel, the fads and the follies of this much religion. We are the sons and daughters of Him who is the Ancient of Days. We are the brothers and sisters of Him who died and rose again. We have been baptized into Christ. Everything hinges upon that. If you don't feel religious, remember, you've been baptized. If you have not experienced God's presence, remember, God has drawn near to you in the water of baptism. If you doubt and despair, Luther said those were the devil's two greatest temptations. Remember, God has given you His promise in baptism. If you have gone away from Him into a far country, remember there is a Father who has called you by name in your baptism and doesn't forget you. If you renounce it all and give yourself over to meaninglessness and nothingness, remember in baptism God has not renounced you. If you stumble in your sin and stammer in your confession, remember that in your baptism you who are guilty have received grace. No ecstasy, no vision, no experience can make it more real. No doubt, no despair, no evil can take that from you. For in your baptism, as with your Lord's, God has said, 'This is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased.' In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which truly passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.